What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports and your weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler, and across the table, he's Mike Artabasio.
I am Mike Artabasio. You got that one right.
All the way, buddy.
We are in the downtown offices of the Long Beach Post. Love coming down here every Wednesday to record What Up, Long Beach. It's not the only thing we do at the Post. We also record the show, a five-minute best-of video recap of the week in Long Beach sports, as well as our high school and college sports wrap-ups, which you can find at lbpost.com.
We've got some fresh, new footage for you on the show this week, so make sure you check that out. It's available at Long Beach Post, but like Mike said, we do all of the Long Beach sports coverage at the562.org, so make sure you get to those two websites, smash those subscribe buttons, and help support local sports and news coverage.
I got good news and bad news, JJ.
Always bad news first.
The bad news is we didn't get enough rain this winter, and we're probably headed back into fairly serious drought conditions.
California in a drought, dude. It's our vibe.
The good news is it's summertime outside in February.
That is true.
Which means it's time for some Naples Rib Company. It's time for some barbecue. And so I'm going down to Naples Rib Company on 2nd Street. Dave Ursini and the folks at Naples Rib Company have supported us for over a decade at this point. We want you to support them as well. Head down there to 2nd Street. Tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
Gonna get right into it. Our O the Week segment here every week at What Up Long Beach. Your question, athletes, games, players, quotes, and lists. We're gonna start with the question of the week. And it's something we've been getting a lot at Blair Field recently. Is Long Beach State Ball elite again?
Yes, moving on.
When did that happen?
Yes.
It happened real quick.
I mean,
take yourself back 12 months ago. The dirt bags are banged up, man. They are banged up, and they are going in the wrong direction.
Is banged up the words you'd use?
Yes,
to
I would. You like that? You like that? High school baseball in Long Beach.
The dirt bags were a bleep show.
Not doing well. No playoff wins to speak of other than the D3 run that Wilson had the year before that. LBCC really the only thing shining. But now, the dirt bags are back. LBCC's good again. And we have got elite talent in the Moore League at Blair Field. Yes, Long Beach baseball is elite again. And it happened that quick.
Your answer took a lot longer than mine. But yes, at the end of the day, we are fortunate to have some really great coaches in Long Beach. But as the age-old saying goes, maybe truer in baseball than any other sport. It ain't the X's and the O's. Mm. It's the Jimmys and the Joes.
Truth.
And we got some Jimmys and Joes in Long Beach. Let's talk about the Dirtbags first, ranked number 25 in the country. Obviously, have a huge series with number 6 Mississippi State at Blair Friday through Sunday this weekend. But just came off of sweeping number 17 Wake Forest.
In dominant fashion as well. Those games were not close, especially the 6-0 thumping on Sunday. A game in which it looked like the Demon Deacons were so ready to get on a plane.
Yeah.
They were like, let's get out of
here. We're tired of these guys. But you know what? You know what I loved was looking at your interview with Eric Valenzuela, the first-year coach of the Dirtbags, who is having some success.
Mm-hmm. And saying all the right things.
You know, he talked about they put together a really elaborate and accurate scouting report for the pitchers because Wake Forest had so many juniors and seniors that they had film on from last year on batters' tendencies. And it's like, I love hearing that number one – the pitching has been great at Blair.
Yes.
But they also have guys who can hit the ball,
yep,
which is great.
They're letting them swing.
They have guys that are passing the eye test. I don't know. I'm on the Long Beach State message where I check on it once or twice a week. And I love – someone just said, like, these dudes look like dudes. Like, they're big dudes. They're big. You
that's
know?
What the crazy thing is, they looked like that last year. I mean, Leonard Jones didn't grow that much. You know what I mean? He's just been let off the leash and he hit a home run.
When you're hitting an Oppo home run at Blair, you look bigger.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Fair enough. If you're allowed to swing at that pitch without any fear of reprisal when you get back to the dugout, it's also easier to take it over the fence. But the Dirtbags are off to their best start since 2008. When you and I first started covering sports here in Long Beach, and we were covering that regional at Blair Field,
yeah.
Vance Worley throwing the ball for the Dirtbags that year.
But I think what it's worth noting, it's not just the best record since 08, but it's also been a good schedule. They won the series against, I mean, I don't even care if they suck. They won the series against a Power 5 team.
Pac-12, yeah.
Pac-12 team comes to Blair and loses the series. They've been good on, they were great on Tuesday against San Diego, and then you sweep a ranked team. So, yep. I mean, it's not like they came out and they're playing, D2 teams and looking good or something. Like, they've looked good against good competition.
We're going to talk more about the Dirtbags when we get to our quote of the week, because I stopped with head coach Eric Valenzuela and leadoff hitter Calvin Estrada after that game on Sunday and talked to them a little bit about how the team is feeling, aka very good, and kind of why the joy is back in this program. It's been a lot of fun at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. We're going to have video of that as well on the show this week. But they're not the only college baseball team balling
right now.
No, hold
on. Before we move on, I just have to say shout out to Jacob Huey.
Oh, we're going to talk about him on the quote.
But I just like, how great is it to see the kid?
It is great.
A Long Beach kid who dreamed of playing for the Dirtbags. It wasn't going the way you want to imagine it going, getting to have the year he's having so far.
Not only that, shout out Matt Fields. Matt Fields back from basically career-ending injuries, two of them, and now he's back on the bump, coming out of the bullpen, throwing seeds. He had two strikeouts on Tuesday against San Diego, and he came out and threw a clean ninth inning against Wake Forest on Sunday as well. So local boys, love to see it.
So more local boys having success locally is, as JJ was about to mention before I interrupted him, the LBCC baseball team, which, I mean, it's nothing new, like, you said it. That's been the program that's been consistent over the last half decade.
Well, last year especially. Last year it looked like they were about to beat the number one team in the state.
Yeah, but I think, I mean? But I believe they've won four of the last five conference titles. Like Casey Crook had a three-peat, which had never happened at LBCC before.
And they got back to the postseason, deep in the postseason last year, which is the one thing that has kind of eluded them
for
recently.
Sure.
So, yeah, congratulations to them on another hot start. They are outscoring their opponents so far this season 119-63.
Those are good numbers.
They are being dominant. And like you said, it is local guys like Carter White, David Rivera, guys from Lakewood. Then you got Moises Guzman, guys from Milliken.
Our guy Alex Aguine had a walk-off.
Alex Aguine from Wilson.
Stole home for a walk-off win.
The All-More League list should be the starting lineup for next year's LBCC Vikings every year in baseball.
Unless they're signing Division I scholarships or getting drafted, which is a perfect transition into why the More League has been got us a lot more excited this year, which is... We said it at the top of the segment. It's about having the guys. And the More League, frankly, you know, the talent level had dipped for a couple of years. What's exciting right now is you have a senior in Ricky Tiedemann at Lakewood that is drawing, I mean, it's basically the Shane Watson, Chase DeYoung experience, J.P. Crawford experience you and I got to enjoy covering those guys. He's got scouts following him around, you know, like they're thirsty kids trying to get his number or something, you know.
His stock is rising.
The stock is through the roof. He's handling it wonderfully. There's no big head there. And he's also bawling out of his mind.
And he's doing both. He's playing the field, taking his hits, taking his ABs, but also on the mound where probably that's his future.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's absolutely his future. The velo's been great. The control's been good.
Much like his brother. Like his brother, where you didn't really expect a lot, but, you know, his brother goes to LBCC,
yes,
gets attention, and then now he's trying to bust through and get into the show.
Right. And but with respect to Ty, who was probably a much better quarterback than Ricky is, Ricky's a different level athlete, which Ty literally said to me the first time I met him when he was a 10th grader. He's like, I have a little brother that's going to be like the guy. Ricky's got to weigh 60 pounds more than Ty weighed in high school.
Yes.
He said it's like he's put on muscle. He looks good. Yeah. That's a big part of why the velo's come up, obviously. And yeah, I mean, it's funny because Ty is one of our favorite guys we've ever covered. Won a CIF championship as a quarterback in Division I. Then
plays, at Long Beach Poly.
Yeah, and then he didn't have any scholarship offers at quarterback, so he played baseball his senior year at Poly. Hadn't played baseball in 4 years. Was great, goes to LBCC, has one great year, sets the state record for triples, and then he gets drafted by the Rangers, like, that quickly. So it's a great story.
The path is here, baby.
Ricky's taking a shorter path.
Long Beach is the yellow brick road of Major League Baseball for sure. Players. More Major League Baseball players come out of Long Beach than any other city in America.
But the thing that's great is, yeah, I mean, I was just on Twitter BSing about this because Glenn Walker, who's a Long Beach guy, who's the area scout for the Mets, was tweeting about JP, is having a great spring training so far. And I just pointed out, yeah, I mean, Long Beach has four of the top six Major League baseball producing players in California in one league. It's pretty insane. It's just super, super special. Not only do you have a top level guy like Ricky, but also you look at across the classes, you know, that Milliken Lakewood game, a lot of those guys are going to be putting together books on Ryan Geck, the sophomore at Milliken.
Yes, he had a big breakout time power hitter. Freshman year last year.
For sure.
It's kind of hard to imagine him hitting the ball better than he did as a freshman. I mean, he hit over 400.
I think he's gonna put one over the fence at Blair this year, though.
Yeah?
You think?
You're calling it?
I think so.
You're calling his shot?
I don't think he'll put one over the back fence.
Okay.
The original, what do we call it, the original fence?
That's fair.
He'll probably need another year to do that, but yeah. And if he puts one over there as a sophomore, the guys you and I have seen hit home runs out of Blair Field were like beefy seniors.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, some of them beefier than others, obviously.
Yeah, we had to wait till Chris Betts got to his senior year before we started seeing him launch him out of Blair.
For sure. So, no, I think that's going to be huge. But if you look at every team, you know, there's talent on every team that looks like next-level talent. That's what's so exciting to me, because it's just – there's something special about Blair. I mean, it could just be JV teams playing,
bro,
and it would be special.
We could talk
but when
for
they're elite
hours.
Kids,
we could talk for hours about Blair Field and
sure.
the history and how amazing it is and how people around the country talk about Bull Diamond at Blair Field like it's this mecca.
Yeah.
And it's just down the street for us.
Right.
We're going to talk about that a little bit more
okay.
later on.
All right, I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on your other
segment.
This
is great. This is the baseball show. But before we get to the other baseball stuff, we've got to take a quick step back, talk about our Athletes of the Week, obviously brought to you by Naples Rib Company. Thank you to them for their sponsorship. We got a basketball Jones, dude. We got four hoopers on this AOT dub list.
Including a Jones. So it's pretty good. Yeah, basketball, the only teams that have sort of survived here from the local area in the winter playoffs, the Wilson girls basketball team will be playing for the Division III-A CIF championship at 2 p.m. at Godinez High School on Saturday. I'm just going to say right now, you probably have other stuff. Maybe it's a Saturday. Got other stuff going on. Follow at 562 Sports. We're going to have full coverage of everything going on at Godinez. Really excited to see how Wilson does. Also have Poly Girls and St. Anthony Boys, which were both open division teams, who have qualified for the state tournament. So those brackets will be out on Sunday. All three of those teams will be in state as well. Those, I believe, will be our only teams going to the state tournament. So definitely check on them. And come back for the coverage of that. But those three teams also produced all four of our Athletes of the Week. Sydney Ross and Ashley Hawkins from Wilson. I'm actually going over to Wilson a little bit later today to talk to Ashley for a feature, which I'm really excited about. Those two have just been tremendous, and they're basically the reason they win that semifinal game, which was kind of their first real test of the playoffs. The first time they weren't in range of doubling someone up.
They've been dominant.
For sure, and they're going to have another big game against Eisenhower. That won't be an easy one either, even though Wilson is the one seed. But we've also got Simone Morris on the Long Beach Poly girls team and Jadon Jones on the St. Anthony boys team, joining them in our Athlete of the Week ranks.
Yeah, you got to shout out Jadon Jones for, even though St. Anthony didn't get out of that pool play and they lost to St. John Bosco at home, Jadon Jones with a thunderous left-handed jam that makes you realize he might get better scholarship offers than Long Beach State.
Well, except that the first two games he couldn't score in pool play. So I think he needed that for the state run, because they're probably going to be in Division I, which is a very – it'll probably be Bosco 1, St. Anthony 2 in the Division I seating. And look, I mean, Bosco's 1-2 – or St. Anthony's 1-2 against Bosco, but they did beat him earlier in the year. And it was certainly not – Bosco was better when they played to end pool play, but they weren't so much better that you couldn't see St. Anthony having a better game, you know?
Right.
So they needed him to be feeling good the way he felt after 18 points against Bosco. So
but it's plays
tough,
like
tough
that.
Tough break for them to go 0-3 in pool play, for sure.
It's plays like that that bring scouts out of the woodwork. You know what I mean? Like those moments where guys look like they are literally above the game, those are the moments where you get that all of a sudden the scouts come. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were talking about Tiedemann, for example. Like, yeah, for sure. They're definitely looking at his stats. But they're also looking at their radar gun and how the ball comes out of his hand and how he, you know, comes back for the fourth and fifth inning after throwing hard in the third. Like, those are different things that scouts are looking for. And I think Jadon Jones, although he struggled, I feel like he's still got that next level talent in there.
Well, he's committed to Long Beach State, so he's got to have the next level of talent. He's going to go there and hopefully be successful. But I think knowing Jadon and the family, I would think that's a pretty solid commitment. So even if other stuff's coming in, if you're a Long Beach State fan, I would expect to see that kid there next
what
year.
Okay, hold on. Let's play a little game. What if San Diego State offers him, the undefeated San Diego State Aztecs?
I don't think that will happen. That could change things, but I think he's found sort of the perfect spot and is locked up there. But yeah, I mean, it'd be great if a next level mid-major or whatever wanted to come in and swoop him up.
You never know. you never know. We've definitely seen some other kids that we didn't expect to get those mid-major offers, get those mid-major offers after signing days when things kind of settled down. So that'll be interesting to see how those teams fare in state and kind of how those players individually fare in state as well. We're going to move on to our game of the week because you just mentioned it. It's obviously the Wilson Girls Basketball CIF Championship against Eisenhower, the 3A title game. Like Mike mentioned, Wilson is the number one seed. They have been dominant in the playoffs. Eisenhower is the number two seed. They are 26-4, and they are co-league champions. So this is the game that Division 3A thought was going to happen. Yeah. It's Eisenhower. It's Wilson. It's two very different teams because, first of all, let's talk about the Bruins. They've got the role players, right? They've got the Samaya Terry, who can be the energy, who can drop Mario a 30, Hines, who can drop a 30 piece in the quarterfinals and make that happen, and be that type of player that can get you through a bracket without having to sweat too much. And then you've got a Sydney Ross, who is that defensive stopper, who can kind of lead on one side of the floor without really worrying about what's happening on the other side of the floor, because you've got an Ashley Hawkins, who's back from injury, who can score the basketball, who has been playing so well, distributing and creating offense for the Bruins. They've got the recipe, because you and I have watched plenty of high school playoff basketball, championship playoff basketball, and we know what it looks like when a team looks ready to win a championship. This Bruin team looks ready to win a championship.
For sure. And especially you mentioned Ashley. You know, it's very rare in the girls' game, especially in the lower division, to have a player where you go 15 to 20 points. Got it. You know, and she's been that for them consistently this year. You mentioned kind of the focal point of my story is going to be, you know, this is a girl who had to sit her all of last year with a knee injury, and it was just excruciating for her, you know? So this is what you think about that whole year when you're fantasizing about coming back and playing basketball. This is the year you're thinking about, right?
Yes.
Like, we do good in league. We beat Milliken for the first time in a while. And then you get into the playoffs and you're just annihilating people. And so I think she's got to be the person who's most just like, let me get on that floor right away and start getting some buckets up in a championship.
Yeah, you mentioned it. That win at Milliken, 69-63 at the end of January. They lose to Pauly big, like 3 days later.
Yeah.
But that didn't matter. It was that win over Milliken that I think really was the key to their confidence headed into the playoffs. And oh boy, have they been playing well. They are running up against a really good Eisenhower Eagles team, and namely one really good player. And I kid you not, her name is Salah Hemingway. She averages over 15 points, over 11 rebounds, over 3 steals, and over 2 assists per game. The 6'1 forward shoots 46% from the field because, it's a lot of putbacks. She's 6'1. She knows how to play basketball. She's got a basketball IQ. She's averaging 6 offensive rebounds a game. So she's just camped under there, waiting for the ball to come off the iron. She gets it. She puts it back up. She scores a lot of points for the Eagles. They dropped out of 3AA, the division just above 3A, last year after a first-round exit. So not only are the Eagles feeling good in the championship game, they also feel like they're a little bit better than this bracket. So maybe they have a little bit something to prove with Hemingway leading the way. And boy, oh boy, I am going to dump some literary references on that highlight video on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want me to employ my expertise of the English Lit degree and give you some
her name's not Joyce, Mike.
Some deep cuts, though?
Yeah.
Or you just want to do For Whom the Bell Tolls and Old Man in the Sea?
Oh, come on. Come on. You know I'm going deeper than that. I mean, we'll start there.
Okay, all right.
We'll start there.
Okay.
For whom the whistle tolls. Wilson probably wanting Hemingway to get into some foul trouble.
One last note on that Wilson game. This is the first time the girls' basketball team there has been in the championship in 20 years. They won the game 20 years ago. They're obviously trying to do that again on Saturday. So like we said, we're going to have previews, features, live updates, and obviously the photos, videos, article that you expect from a CIF championship featuring a Long Beach team. So be sure to stick tuned to the 562 for all of that.
God bless playoff equity. It's just giving life to these other teams, specifically in Long Beach, man. Like I said, Wilson gets thumped by Pauly in the second to last game of the season, and it just doesn't matter.
Well,
that's the way it should be.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Aaron Carey, their head coach, for correctly setting their expectations. The team, they went and competed against Pauly, and actually the first time they played Pauly, the first quarter was really close. But she correctly set their expectations, and I talked to her about that after both the Pauly games. It was like, I don't care. You know, like, we didn't come into this season trying to be one of the top 20 teams in the country and an open division team in the Moore League champion. We came into this season knowing we can win the Division 3A CIF championship and put numbers up on that banner at Wilson. That's what we're focused on. And because of that, you and I have talked about this more so with football than other sports, but I think it's just as important in girls basketball, because when Millikan won their Division I championship a couple years ago, it was the same thing. It was like, it's not that we're not going to compete against Poly and try and win that game.
This just isn't our season.
But I'm not going to let the kids get into the locker room and hang their heads and, ah, we got our butts kicked by Poly. We're going to go win the 3A championship. And I to me, I know some people don't actually necessarily like that strategy. I think that's great, because high school kids are emotional creatures.
Yes.
And you need to make sure that you don't have those big valleys right before the playoffs.
Dude,
starts.
We saw it with soccer as well. When the soccer team started falling down, specifically on the boys' side, I'm thinking of the Jordan team, the Jordan boys team that made the finals. They weren't trying to beat Millikan that year. I mean, they
knew,
did,
right,
but
right.
They knew that wasn't their season.
Right. Well, and I mean, look at the Cabrillo boys soccer team that goes and wins that state, right? Yep. I mean, they're like, I mean, when we talked to Pat Noyes before the season, they're always in the running for the Moore League at Cabrillo. But the first thing he talked about was, we're in Division II. We got a real shot at
the first championship
for the school here.
Yes.
You know?
that's good coaching. That's good coaching.
Couldn't agree more.
So we move on to our quote of the week. I mentioned it earlier. Went to the Dirtbags last weekend as they swept number 17 Wake Forest. Talked to head coach Eric Valenzuela and leadoff hitter Calvin Estrada. Obviously, we got to reset this real quick. The last 2 years of Dirtbag baseball have been bad after a magical season in 2017 where they hosted the NCAA Regional and the Super Regional at Bull Diamond at Blair Fields. Some really horrible things happened off the field. Some even worse things happened on the field. And now the new head coach, Eric Valenzuela, is bringing a fresh attitude, a positive energy to this program. And after 2 weekends at Blair Field, headed back there this weekend for the series against number 6 Mississippi State, I got to tell you, the joy is back at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. These kids are having fun playing baseball. That's the way it should be. And the results are showing that that's the way it should be. Like, they're having a good time, so they're playing well. This is the same group of dudes who went under 500 last year.
It's baseball. It's not rocket science.
And they're
if you're not having fun, you're not going to perform well. And I think that's been so obvious in their performances so far. And I love that was sort of your storyline coming out of the weekend, is like, it's not just like, oh, how did they beat number 17? You know, what adjustments to make? It's like, wow, these guys are enjoying being baseball players right
now. Yeah. Throw some stats out there. The team ERA for Long Beach State Dirtbags, 1.66. Not too shabby. That means they're giving up less than 2 runs a game. Adam Seminaris, Friday night starter, had to be sat for the weekend for violation of team rules. Pitching staff didn't miss a beat, dude. 3 stellar starts from 3 guys who didn't have to do that last year. Alfredo Ruiz, Luis Ramirez, and Jonathan Lavallee. They all had great starts on the weekend. Seminaris will be back this weekend, so many available arms for them. Got a shout out Connor Cox, the center fielder. He's hitting almost 500 this year. 9 hits, 3 doubles. He's got a couple runs scored, and he is an absolute beast in center field. He can track anything down. Leonard Jones had that oppo home run at Bull Diamond at Blair Field on Tuesday night, we mentioned. Aiden Malm bouncing back. He's over 300 this year after starting 5 games. And, of course, Calvin Estrada, the leadoff hitter. That kind of is the idea of why Dirtbags baseball looks and feels a little bit different. Usually, you see a Dirtbags team play Dirtbags baseball. Get them on, get them over, get them in, use good pitching, win games 3-2. That is not the way Eric Valenzuela plays baseball. That is not the way he played it growing up. It's not the way he coaches. Calvin Estrada should be a 3 or 4-hole hitter in every other Dirtbag lineup you've ever seen. But he is a physical presence at the top of that lineup. And it works, dude. 11 hits, leads the team. Scored 7 runs already this year. He's got 4 doubles to lead the team. Half a dozen RBIs. His slugging percentage is high. It's above 440. His on-base percentage is high. It's almost 400. If you've got your leadoff hitter with your on-base percentage at 400, you are going to win baseball games. So talk to Eric Valenzuela. talk to Calvin after this game. The first voice you hear is going to be Valenzuela. Then the second one is Estrada. Talked a little bit to Valenzuela about, you know, how the team is feeling overall, and talked a little bit to Estrada kind of about how the team is feeling individually.
I mean, these guys, they want to be good. I think there's a big chip on their shoulder. You know, this is Long Beach State, man. This is dirtbag baseball, and this is what everybody expects. And so they have a little, they're playing with a little chip on their shoulder, and they're playing good baseball. You know, the guys that were here, but I respect everybody that has been here before. We're never going to talk about the past. I feel that what we do and the energy that we have and the positive, you know, energy that we bring to the table. And, you know, we really emphasize on the player and getting him right and playing good baseball. And I think that's all we've done. I mean, they're good players. This is Long Beach State, man. You're one of the best players in the country if you put this uniform on. So it's not the talent for sure, as you can see. So again, we just, you know, have a positive environment. We work hard. These guys grind it, and we have high expectations. We know what the expectations are of this place, and you know, and they're going out and playing like.
Joy's back. We're having fun. We're rolling. So let's just keep going.
Is it something you guys talked about? Like, hey, let's have fun. It's baseball, or is this just kind of coming with the way you guys are playing?
V kind of told us, he was like, it's your season, so we're gonna let you guys do what you guys do, and it's kind of just come along. This is just how it's showing up on the field. Everyone's happy, everyone's smiling.
Is it the personality of the team a little bit?
Yeah, we just play with a lot of energy, so as long as we keep that energy good, we'll keep rolling for sure. It feels like we're back. It feels like the Dirtbag name is back, at least right now. Hopefully we keep moving in the right direction. I feel like we're going to. I feel like everything's changed, the whole era has changed, so there's no looking back at last year at all. That's what V said. He was like, we're not even gonna look back at what happened. It's a completely new year. We're just gonna roll with it. So that's what we're doing.
All right, so you want to talk a little more Dirtbags with our list of the week. Lay it on me.
Yeah, because I like the list of the week kind of tie in with the quote of the week. And obviously sitting there at the ballpark last weekend, I was thinking of a lot of memories at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. As we've said, and I think I wrote a column about it in 2017 that got nominated for one of those awards, it's just one of those places that's special so much so that the more time you spend there, the more you fall in love with it. The more you want to know about why the Cubs were there for spring training. The more you want to know why the Dirtbags moved there in the 90s. The more you want to know what is the next thing they're going to put up now that they have the protective netting up down both sides. How is it that high school baseball players get to play at Bull Diamond at Blair Field? How is that possible? Like, baseball players across the nation are jealous of more league baseball players because they get to play at that ballpark. It's a special place, and you and I have been covering local sports for over 10 years, so we've spent a lot of time at that place. And yeah, let's do some favorite memories. Mine, let's do Dirtbag favorite memories. My first memory at Blair Field is my number one Bull Diamond at Blair Field moment. Cold night. It was probably February. Long Beach State against USC. It's my freshman year. I go with my sweet mates to the game, knowing that Long Beach State baseball is good, but not really knowing how good it is. Jared Weaver comes out to the bump and proceeds to strike out the first 10 USC Trojans he faces. So, yeah, I was pretty much hooked.
You're like, all right, cool.
In the moment, because as a kid growing up in Southern California, you're always looking at USC, UCLA, right? I wasn't expecting to go to a school that was going to beat those schools in sports. Not only did we beat the Trojans that night, Weaver looked like all world while beating them. So that was so cool to start off my relationship with that. And also, a cold night at Blair Field, like, we've had a few of those, dude.
You could say that.
Wouldn't you say that Blair Field is probably the coldest place in Long Beach and on any given night?
Yeah, you and I were making a joke about we need to figure out between Vets and Blair Field.
Vets gets blustery.
Yeah. It's the Vets catches more wind, and when the wind's going through Vets, it definitely cuts. But the air on the field at Blair Field is like a different level of frigid.
Speaking of rocket science, I think it's that the Marine Stadium is literally, if you look at a map, is pointing at
the stadium. And it comes up the channel.
It comes up that right channel, comes it. Across the park, and then that cold air just sits right on top of center field and then blows into the press box because you're facing the water like that.
Right.
Yeah, it gets very cold. I've never gone to Dirtbags baseball without a jacket.
Yeah.
Even when the game starts at 1 o'clock.
It's going to be cold by the time the game's over.
I'm bringing a jacket every single time. Do you have one that kind of sticks out for you?
Yeah, I would say I'll step outside of baseball. I do have a baseball-related one, but I'll step outside of baseball and just talk about the first time I took Vincent to Blair Field and got the experience that most of our readers get of, I just brought my son to the stadium and I got him a frozen lemonade and we just sat and watched baseball for like 2 hours and then he just wanted to like run around and play on the grass on the side in between the innings. And then we came back and sat together and watched it. And I was like, this is cool. I don't usually see Blair Field from the stands. You know what I mean?
Right.
We're obviously either like in a dugout on the field or in the press box. But yeah, that was, I'll always remember that day. It's one of my favorite memories of my entire life.
I grew up playing baseball. You didn't, but your son, Vincent, is very good at baseball and he really enjoys it. Are you surprised that he has found such a love for a game that it's an acquired taste?
Because
he's super smart, dude. It is, quote unquote, the thinking man's game.
I wouldn't say that I'm surprised at all. I mean, I think if my dad had been into baseball, I probably would have been into baseball.
Like, yeah.
I just grew up in a basketball football house. No, because baseball is, for the age Vincent was when he started playing sports, it's sort of perfect because it's like everyone takes their turn. You get a chance to take a breath and everything. You know, he went out there for like soccer and basketball the first times he was playing. And there's just stuff happening all the time. And as you mentioned, he's a kind of a cerebral little kid. So being able to like get into the batter's box and like look around and think for a second that was sort of what he needed. And now he likes basketball and stuff that's constant movement. He might even like that stuff a little more than baseball, where there's a fair amount of sitting around, or maybe they'll hit it to me this time, you know? I think it's the same thing with all the kids that age. It's just like, there's never a moment where you're playing basketball and you're six and it's just chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you threw a bunch of marbles in a tub and started shaking the tub or something. There's never a moment when everyone's looking at you. Whereas when you're batting, grandma's looking at you. Mm. You know what I mean? Grandma knows this is going to be this kid's moment and everything.
Yeah.
So I think it's good at that age for that reason.
He's got some good coaches too, does Vinny.
Yep.
Real good coaches.
Our guy Mike Gallo, Dirtbags, former Dirtbags Hall of Famer one day, perhaps.
Perhaps, yeah.
Mikey Gallo, Astros pitcher, pitched in a World Series. Got to come out of the bullpen in a World Series game.
DJ Gallo
is the assistant coach for the for my son's baseball team. Gallo's kids on too. Jeff Brooklander, who's a longtime coach in Long Beach, is the head coach of the team. We got a couple other like D1 baseball type guys coaching too.
They've got good coaches, guys.
I'll just say this. Here's the funny thing. Then we go. So yesterday was literally our first game of the season, right? We go out there and I walk up and Tony Azevedo is literally warming his son up on the field. And I was just like,
that's greatest American water polo player of all time, Tony Azevedo.
Yeah. So it was funny. So I go over to Jeff and I was just like, oh, no pressure. We got this, you know, the 5-time Olympian on the other side over there. And he goes, well, we got a World Series pitcher. So
Long Beach, baby. That's just Long Beach.
But I would say I had a feeling our team was going to be pretty good. The way you keep score at the rookie level, which is one up from T-ball, is by outs, right? Everyone gets to run around the bases, but you go, how many outs did your team make? And we won like 6-2, I think.
Okay.
And it looked good. They made three defensive plays. You're like, that just looked like baseball. And these kids are 6 years old, you know?
Nice. There is something beautiful about that when it looks like they can't really hold the glove on their hand, but somehow they make the 3-4 put out. All right. My second one is the Dirtbags beating Texas to win the 2017 NCAA Regional. We mentioned it earlier. That 17 season was just magic. That whole group of dudes was so much fun to cover. And it was an extra game on a Monday night. Again, cold Monday night at Bull Diamond at Blair Field. Just an incredible game for them to win there and then host the Super Regional. But that night at the stadium, it felt like so many other college baseball games I've watched on television.
Right. But it was
packed house.
It was at Blair, though.
Rowdy house. Maybe some chants from a student section that weren't completely and totally family friendly.
I was about to say, you know what my lasting memory
but
of that
that's
game
part
is?
Of baseball, dude. How many times have we seen Long Beach State teams go to other people's places and get screamed at for the entire game? It was nice to see it go the other way.
Right.
Because honestly, and I have nothing bad to say about the people who work security at Walter Pyramid, Blair Field, George Allen Field, whatever. but they are very they are in control, let's say that, okay? If somebody says something, there is somebody right there to tell them not to say it or what to do or what that. We've been to other places where that's not the case. It was very nice to see one security guard standing next to the student section and basically letting them do what they wanted.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, your memories, because you were actually writing about the game, I was just there hanging out with you, showing off my my LBC Cortezes. my lasting memory is Roger Clemens, whose son was on the Texas team.
Both of them.
Literally trying to get a dude who was heckling his son to go fight him in the parking lot.
Not only that, but then he ducked out of the boxes next to the field and went down to the media kind of like gaggle yes. area to try to not get worn out. And then somebody was wearing him out down there, too.
That was where I heard him. He,
he was not a happy camper, dude. He was not happy.
Roger Clemens did not have a good time.
I wonder where all that rage comes from. I wonder. Do you have another one?
No, I was going to say the 2017, just because that was magic, bro. So great. But I literally rolled to that Texas game. I don't know if you remember this. Straight from the Poly Girls track team winning a state championship in Fresno. You were going to be on that trip with me because that's a brutal trip to do by yourself. Mm-hmm. But then the Dirtbags were hosting a regional, so obviously we split up. And I literally drove down from Fresno to Blair Field because it was like a – what? How many innings did it go to? It wasn't an extra innings
the
game?
The Monday night game? No, the other game was the extra inning game.
The Saturday game was the one that I rolled to, though. Yeah. That I came – no, it was Sunday. I came down on Sunday.
Yeah. And because they had to win twice.
Yeah, and I was going to go home, but I was literally just looking at your Twitter updates, obviously only at red lights, you know, only at stoppages.
Stay safe out there.
And I was like, oh, my God, I could get back and see the end of this game. This is incredible. And I showed up, like, right for all the craziness. It was great.
Hopefully we get some more of those, but I will never forget my number three – favorite dirtbag memories is the cold nights of spring in 2007. Mike and I had just graduated college. We didn't know what we wanted to do yet. We were both working crappy jobs. And one of the only things I could do to stay connected to Long Beach sports was the podcast that Mike and I did every week and just going to dirtbag games. I lived over there off Miramar and Anaheim, so it was like literally a 5-minute walk over to the dirtbag games. I wasn't working for anybody. I wasn't covering anything, but I just kept going. Kept sitting behind the visitors' dugout on the far side and just wanted to feel like I was still a part of Long Beach sports. And the Dirtbags in 2007, not a successful season. They went to the regional that next year, but, you know, nothing special about that year. But it was special for me that it was like, I want to do this. Not only do I want to do this, I'm going to do it on my free time to make sure that when I get back to doing it, it feels like I never left.
I think that's perfect. There's certain touchstones during the year that we both have that are like, yes, I'm in the right place. And for me, the first high school doubleheader at Blair, which I always order a pizza for, is just one of those moments where you're just sitting there and you're like, this is great. Everyone's here. Like, you know, the top four schools are
here.
Yearly
tradition.
I'm here. You're here. We're going to see some great baseball. And yeah, it's just it's a perfect feeling. And I sort of think about that every year that you're watching the sunset and you're like, I made it another year. You know, here we are.
There is nothing better than the reaction from Domino's when you tell them, please deliver it to the full time in a Blair Field press box.
Post haste.
The where? We got to dip in on the Clippers-Lakers update because that was a great game last night between the Lakers and the Pelicans.
Wasn't that the most fun you've had? This Lakers team's so fun generally, but because Zion is so awesome, it was the most fun I've had watching a basketball game.
The Pelicans are just fun to watch in general.
They are.
They've got so many shooters, so many guys who can score. I still have a unrequited love for Brandon Ingram, so it's great to see him balling out at Staples Center again.
Best of luck, buddy.
Man.
Maybe
that guy's really good, dude.
Maybe next year. He's good. He's good, but you know what? He would Lakers obviously made the right move. And I would say that I don't think Brandon Ingram would be nearly as good on a Lakers team where it's – I mean,
he's not a ball sharer.
He had the best case scenario for this year where there was, for the first half of the season, low expectations, low pressure, not really a ton of other scoring options. Go hoop. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Who do you think would be better on a team that's good, right? Not like you're saying, like, well, if you can shoot whenever you want to, you'll be really good. Who would be better on a good team, Jason Tatum or Brandon Ingram?
Tatum or Ingram?
Yeah.
Tatum.
You think so?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think Tatum is like a sort of ascendant right now for me.
Yeah, I mean, his stock is rising very quickly.
Tatum's doing it on a team that's 46-17 too. You know what I mean? That has a, that's running like.
Yeah, but he's the best player.
Right.
He's the best player on the team.
But I'm just saying, like, it's different when you're doing it on teams that are winning and you're, you know what I mean? Like, things are going right, as opposed to, I've always felt like, I want to see what Devin Booker looks like on a team where he's got to play within a structure and, you know what I mean?
If you
and
could
there's
take
expected
one of,
production from other people.
Throw Giannis in there. If you could take one of those guys to start building your franchise around
Giannis.
Right now, Giannis, yes. Without question?
Yes.
Oof. I think a couple more months of this and Tatum might be in that conversation a little bit more.
No one's in the conversation with Giannis for me at the moment.
Interesting. Okay.
Did you see when I'm trying to remember who they were playing? Did you see his everyone was saying, oh, he got dunked on, but did you see the clip from I think Monday night where he was at the free throw line? Someone was about to dunk, and they were baseline on the right side of the restricted circle. Mm-hmm. So that's how close they were to the basket. And he almost blocked it.
I did see
you know?
That clip,
and you're
yeah.
just like, I don't know that I've ever seen a human being do that. And he doesn't feel like AD, where I think AD is also sort of that alien next-level talent. But I'm just always worried.
You'd choose Giannis over AD?
Without question.
Really?
Yes.
I don't know, dude. AD
yes.
looks like the way basketball will be played for the next 10
Which
years.
One of them are you more confident is going to be healthy 90% of the time? That's my point. Like, Giannis is doing this stuff, and he looks like he's – it's like Braun. He looks like he's a new kind of person. AD looks like
yeah.
he's like a stretched out, you know, regular person.
The ball
handling every time
skills,
he falls
though.
Down. No, for sure. But every time he falls down, I'm scared. Giannis is just like – I don't know. I just don't think we've ever seen anything like him.
Okay, I want to get this on the record right now because I know we're going to be talking a lot about these two teams throughout the playoffs as this season winds down. Everybody, Lakers, Clippers, everybody, be very afraid of the Houston Rockets.
What?
Do not sleep on the Houston Rockets. Watch them play, okay? You're probably going to have to watch a couple games because sometimes they take the night off. But watch them play. When these guys really feel like the FU attitude is flowing through their veins with Harden and Russ leading the way, shooting 700 three-pointers a game because they really don't care, they are going to be dangerous in the playoffs. They're going to knock somebody off. They're either going to beat the Nuggets, the Clippers, or the Lakers in the playoffs. I'm calling it right now. Because they get the Jazz in the first round if the playoffs started today, and that's perfect. Because then they get that second round against possibly the Lakers as the top seed.
I don't think they have a shot against the Lakers in the playoffs.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you watched the games that they played against the Lakers this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, they beat the Lakers at Staples with a skeleton roster.
Do I think AD is going to average 16 points a game against PJ in the playoffs? I don't.
That's fair. But if AD scores 30 and LeBron scores 30, it's still only 60 points.
I'm not worried about the Houston Rockets defense.
me neither, but if they score 120... Do you feel like that would be dangerous for, let's say, the Clippers? Like, I don't think the Clippers can win a series by scoring over 120 points four times.
I think I'll give you this. I'd rather play, if you're looking, I was actually just talking about with some Lakers fan friends last night. If you're looking at the teams that could be the, so assume the Lakers are going to be the one seed. I think they'll finish the season.
Couple
the
games
seed.
Up right now, yeah.
Right
now, actually, it's Lakers, Nuggets,
yes.
Clippers.
I'm much
Rockets.
More afraid of the Nuggets than I am of the Rockets. But I'm not. But I would add,
okay.
I'm not the only team in the NBA that I think has a chance to beat the Lakers in a 7-game series.
Clippers.
Is the Clippers?
Agreed.
I'm not really worried too much about anyone else, to be totally honest.
Okay. I am.
I just matchup wise, I just
okay.
feel good about it.
I watched that Jazz game.
Yeah.
The Rockets Jazz game a couple nights ago. And if you watched it, you know what I'm talking about. Like, they looked incredible. And they looked
yeah,
like they are just.
Consistency over
got
a series is the problem.
Attitude
no, I'd
that
be,
if they're peaking at the right time, and
I'd
it's just like
really
us against
worried
the world.
About them. Yeah, I'd be really worried about them in a one game elimination if it was a March Madness tournament. But over a 7-game series, I won't ever be worried about the Rockets until they win something. I mean, I just don't think that
I mean,
system,
they were a bucket away from knocking off the Warriors last year.
But they didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, but they haven't.
Right there.
But they didn't do it, though.
They're right
you know?
There, though.
And I do think there is something, too.
Long Beach's own Russell Westbrook, by the way. Just shout that out.
Well, I love Russ is, I mean, easily my favorite player in the NBA.
He
doesn't play
for
the Lakers
right now, dude.
But I do think there's something too, and I want to say, did Kobe say something about this? Like, the issue with James Harden's game is, like, he has a game that's built for the regular season. Like, you don't get the calls that his game requires him to get in the playoffs. And, like, I don't know.
He's never had a Russ in the playoffs with him, though.
No doubt, man. I'm excited to watch him. I love watching the Rockets. But if you're looking at the Lakers, the 1 versus the 8, the potential teams at the Memphis. 8 are the Grizzlies, Blazers, Pelicans, Spurs.
I do not want to see Dame Lillard in round 1. Holy cow.
I want the Grizzlies of those teams. I don't want to see Pop. I don't want to see Zion / revenge-motivated Pelicans team that's clicking and young.
I'm not afraid of the Spurs anymore, man.
And, I mean, neither am I, but I'd still rather see the Grizzlies. I'd rather see Ja Morant sort of make a name for himself as being dope in a sweep loss.
Yes.
You know?
Yes,
perfect. So then you go, who do the Lakers play that would be the next? It would look like probably the Rockets or the Jazz. Yes. I would definitely rather play the Jazz. I mean, I could not possibly be less concerned about the Jazz.
Without question. Without question.
And then I would love it if it was somehow the Nuggets that came out, but I think it'll be the Lakers Clippers for the Western Conference Finals.
I want to see Clippers Rockets. That's the series I want to see. I am just afraid that it's going to be Lakers Rockets.
I don't think the Rockets get that. I just don't think that they beat the Jazz in a series, to be honest.
Really?
With you. Yeah.
Wow. That will be fun to watch, and I think we might put some money on it.
But the other thing is, I think it's going to end up – I mean, all these teams are close together, but it does feel like they've been close together in a similar order for a long time. I think it's going to be Lakers, Nuggets, Clippers, and then Rockets or Jazz feels like the interchangeable one to me. So I don't see how the Clippers even end up playing them unless they beat us, which I don't think that they will.
That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach is being put into the books. But before we get out of here, like we do every week, it's time for our recommendations, non-sports style. I'll get mine out of the way real quick. If you have not heard of the band Mammal Hands, 2 words, check it out. It's jazz, but it's like crossover jazz. It's some of the most beautiful jazz I've ever heard. For those of you who like something to think to, this is the music for you. This is the stuff you want to play in the background while you're working or, you know, cleaning the house or whatever.
The kinds of things that you and I are doing literally all the time.
It's like jazz, but not really jazz if you're a huge jazz fan.
Okay.
Like if you're like listening to like Coltrane on a you know, cold Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You're not really going to be about Mammal Hands. But if you like Miles Davis and Complete Birth of the Cool.
Yeah.
You're gonna like Mammal Hands. It's crossover jazz. Check it out.
I will check it out. I've actually been listening to a ton of hard bop jazz lately, like just good saxophone, like classic sounding jazz.
That's basically what this is.
Okay, yeah, I'm intrigued.
My friend, my other friend, Mike. We'll call him Mike, dude.
How dare you?
My other friend, Mike, dude, had the greatest jazz
quote. Do I have any other friends
quote.
Named JJ?
No, bro.
No, I wouldn't do it to you.
Well, they're definitely not white.
The trust. Wow. Yeah, that's definitely right.
So my friend Mike, dude, we were talking about Mammal Hands, and he said, I'm such a jazz fan that I don't know what type of jazz I like. Okay. And that is the greatest jazz quote of all time. All right, what do you got for the recommendations?
Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
No way.
Oh, my God.
Really?
It's so fun.
Awesome.
You know how kids' movies now... you and I have talked about this before. You know, like all Disney and Pixar and like all kids' properties now are developed like 40% for adults.
Yes.
This movie was a kids' movie that you and I grew up on. This is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Like, it's just jokes intended for kids. Like,
all right.
There's no wink, wink, here's sexual innuendo. There's no like, I'm going to make some reference. It was just like, I've never seen not just my kids, but kids generally react more positively to a movie.
Wow.
We walked out of the theater and the entire Regal at the Town Center, you would have loved this because this is what you love about the movies. It was just like 70 kids running as fast as they could around the entire lobby. Like, I've got superpowers.
Yes,
I know,
dude.
I've got superpowers. And it was so fun to not like, I get so tired of the culture wars or like talking about like Joker or Parasite or like, it was nice to have there be a movie where like there's no objection to this movie. No one could possibly formulate an objection to this movie. It's an adaptation of the goofiest game we all play growing up, and it's made exclusively for people under the age of 10. Like, but our friend Ryan had the same reaction. He walked out and I was like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's just like
no notes.
Zero notes. Jim Carrey making stupid faces, chewing the scenery. And the character design was great on Sonic.
Awesome.
So it was nice that they changed it up.
And it's our guy Jean Ralphio on the voice, too.
Yes, I know. And he's, dude, it's honestly, I highly recommend when you're in a thinking mood, as you just put it with Jazz,
nice.
You do some thinking with your friends and put Sonic the Hedgehog on when it comes out, and I guarantee you, you'll have fun.
We got to start making a list for the things to do this summer. We are too busy for doing that right now. We are obviously putting up all of the Long Beach spring previews at the562.org right now. As we mentioned, all of that other content like the show and our weekly notebooks for college and high school available at Long Beach Post. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else at both websites who help get these shows up each and every week, we'll see you guys in the stands this weekend. Take care, Long Beach.